Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Proverbs. First, we'll be in chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, which can be found on page 528 in the Pew Bibles. And then we'll also flip ahead to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 7, which can be found on page 545 in the Pew Bibles. Okay, we'll start in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. And then we'll flip ahead to Proverbs 24, starting in verse 3. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. One of the things I love about our church is we are on mission together. A couple weeks ago, you saw a video reporting our France team. Last week, we heard a report from our Puerto Rico team. And now, this morning, thanks to our brilliant and capable communications director, we're going to have a video that recaps this past week of mission together at kids camp and middle school camp. So I want to draw your attention to the screen, and let's be reminded of the amazing week we had together. We often say that we want to be a blessing to our community. We want Cave Spring to be a better place because this church exists. And I think last week fulfilled that goal. We had people of all ages, young and old, coming together to serve in the name of Christ, to welcome children, to love on them, to teach them the scriptures and teach them the gospel. Thank you for serving. Thank you for all who put in the long hours and care for children. Thank you to Susan Stanley, our children's director, who is an amazing resource and a huge gift to our church. You guys have no, well, you know, but she is amazing and brings together so many people and pulls off what seems like the, unfathomable. So thank you to all who served last week at Kids Camp. This morning we are finishing our series, The Way of Wisdom, a study on the book of Proverbs. We have been studying, seeking to see the Lord's way and to reorient our lives around His instruction. We are working off the idea that wisdom is the art. It's the art and the craft of living by God's design. In this series, over the last 5 months, we've thought about wisdom from Proverbs in friendship, in true gospel community, contentment, wealth, and money, our words, our work. We even dismissed our kids and talked about the way of wisdom in sexual relationships, motherhood, fatherhood, and as children. So literally, we've been diving deep into the ways of wisdom and how it impacts our lives. But honestly, we're just scratching the surface. But after 5 months, 5 months of teaching through the book of Proverbs, let me ask you this question. Are you any wiser? How do you measure growth in wisdom? How do you gain it? Can you really grow in wisdom by coming to church and listening to someone speak about wisdom? Today, in our recap message, I want us to turn back to this wisdom literature to see if we can think about Proverbs and wisdom as a long walk, a long journey for us. Thank you, Emily, for reading from Proverbs 3 and from Proverbs 24. I want to draw your attention to the two of the verses in Proverbs 24. I'm going to read them again, verses 3 and 4. Open your Bible back or turn back to those pages. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. By wisdom, a house is built. Now, I've never built a house before, but I've seen a ton of episodes of Fixer Upper. Some of you are cringing at the moment. You have been in construction business. You have built your own home, and you say, there's nothing similar to watching episodes on Netflix. There's a huge investment in building a home. Money, time, decisions. Big decisions like floor plans and square footage. Even bigger decisions like a new gray, agreeable gray, mega gray, satin eggshell, semi-gloss. Literally, there must be 10,000 decisions that are needed in building a house. And here, Solomon is likening growing in wisdom to building a house. This morning, I want to draw our attention to a few thoughts that Solomon is getting at as we think about seeing wisdom lived out in our lives. First, it is requiring thoughtful planning and deliberate action. Look at the two verses again. There's a step-by-step progression that Solomon is using in the construction of a wise life. He says there's knowledge and understanding and then wisdom. Tara Lee Cobble from the Bible Recap is helping me here as she is kind of putting together how these pieces of the puzzle fit in building a house. Knowledge is having the facts. These are the boards and the nails and the shingles. Wisdom requires gathering the right information, grabbing your Lowe's credit card, and shopping for building supplies is necessary, but it's not enough. You have to gather the facts, but you have to do more with that. She goes on to say, understanding. By understanding, it is established. It is built. Discerning the facts, seeing how they fit together, bringing things into the big picture. In the home illustration, this is knowing how to swing a hammer or handle a miter saw. Knowledge and understanding, but when they are applied in our lives, the application of knowledge and understanding, she says, is wisdom. How does this translate into our everyday life? That's what we want to know. How do we construct a home of wisdom and live in it? We've been saying that it's the art and the craft of living by God's design. You can have the facts of Christian friendship. You might even understand the value of those things, but wisdom is putting these things together, living in relationship with one another, befriending and pursuing friendship. Like a craftsman who starts a project. At the end of this message, I want to encourage you, at the end of the series, I want you to encourage you to look back. What has Proverbs taught you? What knowledge have you gained in this series? What understanding have you been involved in? And then how can you move forward in application and wisdom? Like building a home, wisdom requires thoughtful planning, deliberate action. It's not just knowledge and understanding, it is application. Secondly, like building a home, walking in wisdom requires many small decisions. This is established over time. Think about the context that this was written. Maybe 3,000 years ago, you wanted to build a home. You didn't just pick up the phone and call the general contractor. It required knowledge and understanding. It required skills. It required help. But it also required personal sacrifice and dedication. This was a process. Decision after decision, wisdom, walking in wisdom requires us to follow Christ, not just in the big moments of life. One might be tempted to think that a wise person makes the right decision for the 5 to 7 major life scenarios: going to college, marriage, finding the right job, finding the place to live, retirement. These things are important, and you do certainly need wisdom and big decisions. But I think what this illustration that Solomon is getting at is that wisdom comes not just in the big decisions of life, but in the small, everyday decisions. The 1,000 decisions that we make every single day that determine the type of person we want to be. A wise or foolish husband, a wise or foolish father, worker, friend. Becoming a faithful Christ follower is determined often by the small, even unseen decisions that we make. Wisdom doesn't happen by accident, I think Solomon is saying. It comes like building a house, a slow, steady journey towards faithfulness. A long obedience in the same direction. 1,000 decisions every day to pursue Christ and His likeness and to turn from foolishness and selfishness. Third, we see in this illustration that wisdom doesn't just construct a home, but it fills a home. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. Wisdom fills our lives, but it also fills our home. I love this idea. It's not just the outer, but it's filling the inside. After the construction project is finished, after the final inspection, there's still much work to be done. Wisdom fills your life and it fills your home with precious and valuable things. Our community is filled with beautiful homes, and I'm sure filled with precious things inside some of those homes. But one of my favorite homes is up on the mountain this way. It's the old farmhouse of Colonel and Marie Saul. I don't know if you've been up that way, but it's actually Miss Marie's home place. It's an old farmhouse. And it sits up on top of Pogue's Mill Extension, really carved into the side of the mountain. And it's this beautiful white home. And as I had the opportunity to go and to be with them, their home is filled not with the latest tech, the fanciest kitchens, but it's filled with life and pictures and relics of life and family and faith. And inside of that home, there's one particular room that I think is the best. It's a small little den that Colonel Saul would sit right beside his wood stove, and he would read, and he would pray, and he would reflect and study and prepare messages and lessons. This home was filled with wisdom and love deep faith in Christ, warmth. This type of man and woman and their home were not built overnight, but a lifetime filled with Christ-exalting wisdom. I think this is what Solomon is trying to say here. It's built and then established. It's built and then filled a long obedience, a long walk of wisdom. What's filling your home? What's the temperature and the aroma of your home? Wisdom? Foolishness? This illustration helps us to think about application, a long obedience, a lifetime of building and filling. But as we close this series, I want to direct your attention to the words of another one, one that is greater than Solomon, more wise than Solomon, but who also uses an illustration of building a home. I want you to turn, as we close this series, to Matthew chapter 7. Flip over to Matthew chapter 7. It's on 812 of your pew Bible. Jesus concludes his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, with a building illustration, very similar to Proverbs chapter 24. Let me read these verses and you follow along. Verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a what? A wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and it was a great fall." See the similarities? Wise, fool, building a house. The interesting thing about this story that concludes the Sermon on the Mount is that it's very similar. We don't have a whole lot of details about the construction quality of these homes. It sounds like they were actually built about the same. We don't have any details about the storm strength. The first storm was a category 5, the second storm was a category 3. No, it's likely the same type of structure, the same type of storm, but there's one difference. What is it? Just one difference. The first house was built on the rock. The same type of house was built on sand. The Psalms are filled with the refrain, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my refuge." The key difference in this story is not the home quality, it's not the scale of the storm. The key difference is the location of the house. Will you live on the rock? Will you hear His word and follow Him? This is what the wise man did. He heard the word of God. He followed Jesus. He built his house on the foundation of Jesus Christ. When the storms came and the winds blew and when they beat against the house, it did not fall. This was a wise man. I think what we learn about wisdom in the book of Proverbs, we think about wisdom from the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' life. Wisdom is not just a character trait. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Come on, Paul. You didn't want to throw wisdom in as a fruit of the Spirit? No, it's deliberately not there. Wisdom is not just a character trait. It's a person. Biblical wisdom is a person. It's the rock in whom we build our lives. And we decide today, 1,000 times today, who we will live for and what will be the foundation of our lives. Will we build our lives? Wisdom is building our lives on the rock. The source and strength of your life is not you do better and be better. Wisdom is not getting yourself together and getting your finances together and getting your friendships together. It is the rock, Jesus Christ, your fortress, your strength, the foundation of your life, and choosing 1,000 times today to follow Him in wisdom, to follow His wise life and turn away from foolishness and sin. Foolishness and sin leads to a great fall. The winds came, the floods came, and there was a great fall of this. This has been a very practical sermon series filled with wisdom for many important aspects of life. But as we seek to apply God's wisdom to our life, I want to ask you, how do you get wise? Are you any wiser? How do I know the way of wisdom? How do I grow? First, you just fall in love in Christ. You're a rock. Wisdom personified. You fall in love with Jesus Christ, who came to rescue you from the storms and from your foolishness. You listen to His command, and by the power of His Spirit, you seek to live them out in obedience. And when you fail, and you will fail, and we start acting foolishly, fall on the mercy of Christ. Fall in love with Christ, listen to His commands, seek to obey Him, and when you fail, turn back to the rock. Rinse and repeat, 1,000 times every day, a long obedience in the same direction, a long walk of wisdom. Not by yourself, hand in hand with a Savior who loves you, who has given you everything you need for this life. Today we're confronted with a choice, the way of wisdom, the way that the Scriptures speak, Proverbs, yes, but the whole Bible speaks of a way of wisdom that points to Christ, the ultimate one who came for us, surrendering my life to Jesus and following His way. Or the way of the fool. I can do this. I know what's best for my life. The way of the fool leads to destruction. From Solomon, from the one who was far greater than Solomon, I want to encourage you to build your house, to fill it with precious things, but to build it on the right foundation. Let's pray.